at the sky who yet to lead to who must we must stay out. And of course, that theme is time for the Community Living Show every Thursday mornings from 9 to 10 o'clock here on our flagship station, CITR 101.9 FM, and also along the NCRA radio networks. I'm, of course, Kelly Rayburn. Along with me is Michael Rubin. Good morning.
Good morning, Kelly.
Or good afternoon, or good evening, or wherever you're taping to. Having to happy to have some sort of a taping, if you're taping this on the archives on that CITR.ca or on the Dropbox for that matter. So how you been doing?
Pretty good, you know.
You know, we've lost some friends as well.
Yeah. Two losses were very shocking. I heard about, I guess it was kind of over the weekend or something like that.
Okay. Right?
And the other one, just this morning driving in, is like, I was surprised to hear about two people that we lost recently. So, one being David Bowie.
Yes.
Is like
an icon singer, British singer.
The master of
the Space Oddity.
Yeah.
Song.
Ziggy Stardust.
Uncontrolled and Major Jump.
Yeah. I don't know how many times the man reinvented himself to keep current with music markets and things like that.
Yeah. You know? I mean, not my adopted parents, my birth parents. One of my birth parents, could be one of my uncles, went over to BC Play Stadium during the 1980s and saw the big David Bowie tour of all kind in Vancouver. That was that BC Place.
That sounds like the Glass Spider tour. I actually got to see that one myself.
You did?
Yeah, it was like one of the last Spider tours.
How old were you at the time?
Oh.
Your teens?
I just started university.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I was like...
I'm assuming you're older than I am because I would have been like... 5 years old or 6 years old at the time.
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of difference.
Yeah, of course, but yeah, I still remember.
Yeah, he always put on a great show.
Absolutely. And what the hell is that noise? Anyways, it's morning. Anyways, if we're taping this morning. Anyways,
strange noises happening in the
so
studio.
Anyways, continuing on with the David Bowie thing. He did a massive show, the big show he ever done during 1984 when he did it at BC Place, and BC Place was decorated with large curtain stuff in the background. Geez, are we doing construction here or what?
We must be doing some construction around us.
Well, bear with us, folks.
Yeah.
Anyways, large curtains that have the background, and they get about like three or four, and they have all of the band. The band is there, and they had the baritone saxophone. They were doing the song "Modern Love" and everything.
Yeah.
It was big.
When he showed up in the town I was living at at the time, I was living in Philadelphia, and he showed up with Peter Frampton too.
Really,
I was like, Peter Frampton on stage with David Bowie is like, it was like the crowd just could not contain themselves. We just like were just screaming, like it's like you're kidding me, right? Peter Frampton and David Bowie on the same stage together.
Yes.
And like you said, he did Modern Love, like you said. It was the same tour. And it's like, and the theatrics that he pulled off with things like he had dancers dropping from the ceiling and stuff like that, and it was like,
and there was one time in the tour he went right where the curtain was and he was doing some sort of another. I don't even know what the song was about, but it was really incredible.
He always put on an amazing show.
Of course. There's another person you were mentioning.
Yeah, Alan Rickman. Most of us may know him as Professor Snape.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember the first time I saw him on the big screen was actually in a Die Hard. He played the villain in a Die Hard. And it was like...
A villain type.
Yeah, he was the... The quote-unquote terrorist.
Yes.
But in the end, it turned out he was just trying to steal some bearer bonds or something like that, right? But
he was also on numerous of movies like Harry Potter.
Harry Potter, where he played Professor Snape.
Yeah.
Another film is like it's completely different from all three of those. Is like Love Actually, where he played... A romantic drama is like, it was Love Actually, and he played in that.
Well, he can play anything. He wants to.
It is like, but, and I do have a clip of him with Jimmy Kimmel for this one because it's like, even if you can't picture who he is right off because we say Alan Rickman or Professor Snape, you're going to remember his voice. So that's why I went ahead and like, and I pulled this clip. It's just a 2-minute clip. He's sitting with Jimmy Kimmel. Here, let's get a listen.
Okay.
All right.
This is fantastic. What is this? Is my birthday?
No. The last time I was on this show, you said to me, was I aware that people impersonated me? Then I heard that the very next night, Benedict Cumberbatch and you had what is described as a Rickman off.
It's a famous game people play.
So, apparently these are the Jimmy Fallon truth-telling machines.
Yeah.
So I just want to know what you have to say about that. Breathe it in.
This is really like a James Bond show. This really is.
I'm very sorry you were offended. I'm very, very sorry. And welcome to the show.
Apology accepted.
Yeah. When I try... Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
You did 8 movies with a character. What was the name of that character again that you did the movies and all the based on the books?
Get a good in.
Professor Snape. No, the young boy with the scar on his,
Exhale and then inhale,
This is very difficult, but it's Harry Potter.
Aha, that's what I'm talking about.
Oh, hilarious.
Yeah.
So, I'm surprised he's gone.
Yeah, it's like, they were both the same age, 69, and it's like, you always had them pictured being youthful and things like that. So
true. Yeah. You know,
so yeah. Apparently he had cancer. So
yeah. So did David Bowie.
Yeah.
By the sound of it. I mean, I know it's the deal with the drugs and the alcohol for that matter that most musicians would deal with.
Yeah.
that could be effective onto it. Just like when Spock, who played by Leonard Nimoy, who is did smoke for a while and didn't smoke afterwards, had some sort of a big lung cancer afterwards, even after when he didn't smoke for a while, and of course after his Star Trek years and his movie saga and all sorts of stuff. And of course he did some I didn't realize, but he did some photography stuff that Leonard Nimoy did. But after, for some reasons, that the smoking can still clog up the lungs, even if you don't. Even if you did stop smoking, it still causes the effect of a lung cancer, for that matter, and that's pretty sad.
Yeah.
Too.
So anyway. You know, we're starting to see those two talents leave us, so you know. But thank God that they left a legacy with us too, you know, with their work.
Yeah.
So anyway.
I don't know. Do you want to take a break early or what?
Yeah, let's get a break in and then we'll come back with
okay.
Something else.
All right, you're tuned into the Community Living Show. I'm of course Kelly and this is Michael. And we'll be back in a moment.
Let's listen in as one poor soul tries to find something good to enjoy on the radio. Let's see here.
Everybody dance, dance. What, you don't like to dance? Everybody dance.
Ugh. Everybody. God, this is awful.
I climbed up the mountain, climbed back down again for you. I climbed up the mountain again for you, and then I climbed back down, climbed up.
Isn't there anything?
Listening to the radio these days can be distressing. Fortunately, here at CITR, our programmers choose the music that they play, so our charts reflect what people actually listen to. To find out what's really topping the charts, pick up a copy of Discorder magazine or check us out online at citr.ca. Unless, of course, you'd rather keep listening to the chart-topping single, Everybody Dance.
What, you don't like to dance? Everybody dance. Everybody dance.
Has mental illness or addiction touched your life? You might be interested in coming out to the Kaleidoscope, UBC's first and only student-created, peer-run mental health support group at the university's Vancouver campus. They offer a stigma-free place for people to share their stories with others going through similar experiences. The Kaleidoscope meets every week on Tuesdays from 5 to 6 p.m. at the Center for Student Involvement in Brock Hall.
Learn more at the-kaleidoscope.com.
Hello, we're here on the Community Living Show on both NCRA Radio Networks and on CITR 101.9 FM. And so you have another clip that you want to get in touch with.
This is a clip, as you know, with this year, because we're leading up to the Fibromyalgia Wellspring walk to Banff, just one more step. So I found this clip while I was trying to piece together some video to help promote the walk itself, because they're still in fundraising for it and things like that. Mm-hmm. And if you want to help them with their fundraising, go to if you just Google Fibromyalgia Wellspring, you should actually be able to find them pretty easily. And there is a we'll be doing pushing out a GoFundMe also. So
okay.
With them. So look for that in the next couple of days. Mm. So I just wanted to get into some symptoms of fibromyalgia, and I found this clip of this lady. She's going to describe to us symptoms of fibromyalgia. Unfortunately, I guess her website is health adjacent, and if you go to health adjacent thedashkaleidoscope.com. You can find out more about what this lady's talking about. But okay. And also on the fibromyalgia Wellspring website, you'll find more about living with fibromyalgia. Mm. Okay, so but here's the clip.
Okay.
Today's video is going to be about living with fibromyalgia. Actually, more specifically, it's going to be about the symptoms of fibromyalgia. And if you are wondering if you have fibro or if you have some strange and unusual symptoms that you don't know if it's normal for other people who have fibro, this is the video for you. And if I don't say the thing that you're looking to hear, leave a comment in the section below and I will get back to it and answer it. All right, so I actually made notes because I didn't want to forget the important fibro-related symptoms. And why would I forget it, you'd ask? Well, that leads to our very first symptom, brain fog. Brain fog is it's this. Not being able to think about anything sometimes. It's like you took cotton and wrapped it around your brain, and everything is trying to like penetrate in through that cotton, and you're trying to think through what's happening. I don't know what's going on in there, but it's like a jambalaya. I mean, it's just like all mixed up. And it's hard sometimes to access words. Like, yes, English is my first language, but not when my fibro fog is out of control. You know what I'm saying? Second symptom. Really, this should probably be the first symptom. Again, fibro fog, but diffuse pain. This is not pain like, oh, I stubbed my toe, oh, I broke an arm, oh, I just had major surgery. All of those are, there's no doubt there's pain involved in differing levels, but with fibromyalgia, the pain just does not go away. And it's not, most of the time, it's not sharp and stabbing. It's kind of more spread out and all over. And, you know, really, the slightest things can cause pain. Like, oh, I think I'm going to touch your skin. No, I guess I'm not, because it hurts like a mother. Sometimes, like, my scalp hurts. My eyelashes hurt. I mean, just, like, the most ridiculous. Anything that is soft tissue can hurt. That's fair game for fibromyalgia. So if you have, when I was first diagnosed, my biggest problems were I had head and neck pain, shoulder pain, and then it ran down my spinal column. And then my PMS was awful. I mean, like I'm having a baby kind of PMS. And so pretty much fibromyalgia, It's a state of hypersensitization to pain. That's kind of what it is. Your nervous system is running amok, and you perceive things to be painful that should not be painful to anybody. That's just the deal. So, diffuse pain. The doctor will tell you that there are 18 tender points to check on your body, but for layman's purposes, which I'm assuming we both are, it's pretty much just a lot of pain over like 50% or more of your body for like, I don't know, more than a month or two or three. Like it does not go away. All right, so another thing is exhaustion. Exhaustion, exhaustion, exhaustion. I'm not talking about being tired. I'm talking about being exhausted just walking up a flight of stairs or waking up and feeling like you haven't slept. If you've had the flu, then you kind of know what that feels like, where your body hurts all over and then you just are so tired because your body is like, I'm gonna get this illness and make you better. But that doesn't actually, that's not what happens with fibromyalgia. But your nervous system is on overdrive, so of course you are tired. I take a nap most days, and I try to get regular sleep at night, but that's another symptom of fibromyalgia, is poor sleep or disturbed sleep. And my sleep is, well, when I'm not taking medicine for it, I don't sleep well at all. I'm up regularly. And especially if you have pain, the pain wakes you up too. And the less you sleep, the worse you feel. So that's kind of fun. All right, next symptom. Here's something that's interesting. Again, because your central nervous system is involved, all of your senses can be amplified. So sounds, light, smell, taste, touch, all of your senses. It's sort of like being raw in a way. It's like as if somebody had just kind of peeled back a layer of skin and just everything is like, I don't even know what that's, I can't even figure out what that is exactly, what to compare that to. I have an idea. If you are in a classroom and somebody is using chalk to write on the board and they scratch their nails down the board and you go, ew, like that, you know, that kind of, actually that gives me goosebumps just thinking about it. That is similar to the feeling of having your nerves set on edge. So anyway, so your senses can easily be overwhelmed, bombarded. Light, I am seriously light sensitive. I have to block out the light, or sometimes I get a migraine. I can't take strong smells. I stop being able to wear perfume. What else? Sounds. I can't take loud sounds anymore. So, I mean, my music is pretty quiet. And that's actually kind of a bad thing because I've also recently realized that as I age, my hearing is going. I don't know. I'm falling apart. All right, now I want to talk a little bit about some other things that happened to me and probably happened to a lot of other people too. Well, the thing about fibromyalgia is that it affects everybody differently. A whole host of things can also be happening in addition to these things, these first things. Another thing that has happened to me a lot is sensitive skin. You know, we were talking earlier about system sensitivity. So, I mean, if you just look at me, I get a rash. Seriously, it's ridiculous. I have no idea why. I'm allergic to all kinds of stuff. Detergents and, I don't know, soaps. It's not as bad as it used to be, but I have sensitive skin. Yeah, there's no two ways about it. So sensitive skin. I have a really hard time regulating my body temperature. So I can go from sweating to freezing in a matter of moments. And again, that's one of those internal system things where your body is super sensitive to anything that happens. That includes heat. I know that for a lot of people with fibromyalgia, they have trouble digesting food. And that can be because you have some kind of co-existing disorder like IBS or some motility disorder with your digestive system so that your stomach doesn't digest the food. It doesn't go through it just kind of sits there, which is what happens with mine, which is fun. Fun party trick. And so that's, you have to plan for that. In fact, I'll make a video about how to deal with digestive issues because it's a regular part of my life. So anyway, and I don't know if you realize this, I certainly didn't until I had fibro. You have muscles that move your food from your mouth all the way out. And again, any place that has soft tissue is fair game for pain. So there's nothing really like having pain all the way through your body while you're digesting food. Fun. Good stuff. Anyway, so trouble digesting food, and as a consequence of that, plus medications, plus inactivity, weight gain. I would say that since I was diagnosed, I've probably put on 50 pounds. And I am surprised, frankly, that I just said that. And it may or may I can't talk. That's how upsetting it is to me that I said that. It may or may not make it through the editing process, but it is not unusual, and that is not a giant amount. I mean, the medications that you take are essentially they slow your system down, and do other things that even doctors and pharmacy companies don't understand, pharmaceutical companies don't understand, and it causes weight gain. What are you going to do? Run the Boston Marathon? No, you're not. I mean, there are degrees of fibromyalgia, and so, you know, on one side there are people who aren't affected as severely, and they are more active, which is great. And on the other side, there are people who are severely affected, like me, who spend literally, I spend 3/4 of my day in bed. That's no joke. Actually, I spend it on the bed, because I make my bed and I sit on top of it so that I kind of have a little Jedi mind trick there to keep me from thinking about the fact that I'm in bed. But I truly am limited physically in that way. So, weight gain, it's part of it. I think I said earlier that I got migraines, but I can get a migraine from smell, from light, from sound. I also have celiac, or a gluten sensitivity, and that can give me a migraine if I accidentally get glutenized. And once that happens, I mean, if you are a migraine sufferer, you know how migraines feel to begin with. So you pair that with fibromyalgia and all bets are off. In fact, I think fibromyalgia is kind of like a migraine for your body. The other thing, and the last thing that I'm gonna mention is poor coordination, and this has been something that's been difficult for me to adjust to, because I was very active. I played sports all through high school. I ran. I, you know, did all kinds of physically active things that involved coordination. And once I was diagnosed, or once I started to get sick, my coordination it was the pits, really. It was awful. In the very beginning, I would trip over my own feet all the time. I would fall regularly. I'd just, like, be walking, all of a sudden, blam. I couldn't get everything to function. You know, in a way, it was weird. Almost like being drunk, but not nearly as fun. But I still have problems with that. I kind of trip around. I spill stuff on myself all the time. I have to be very careful when I'm cooking with the knife. I can easily cut myself. I cut and burn myself regularly while I'm cooking. Not on purpose. But while I'm cooking. And so, yeah, I have to deal with that. It's a weird thing. It affects your coordination and your it's almost like it affects your depth perception, you know? Ooh, like that? Yeah. Anyway, so those are the symptoms of fibromyalgia. I take medication regularly, as I've said, and it does help me get to a point where I can be functional to a degree. A lot of my time is spent here in my house, and because I'm severely affected by the weather, the sun, blah, 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 fill in the blank. And so that's one of the reasons why I started the Health Adjacent channel and blog, because I found a lot of ways to have a full life, to make things easier, to really enjoy myself. And I mean, if it helps anybody, whether you're living with fibromyalgia or not, well, then that's a good thing. And I'm happy with my life. I love my family, and I'd say that I feel better about my life right now than I have in a very long time. And man, that positive outlook makes everything just a little bit easier. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Cool. Okay. Again, if you have any questions, please leave them in the comment section. If you liked it, please give it a thumbs up. Like this video, thumbs up. And if you All right, all interested, subscribing, you know? I mean, I'm just saying, a little subscription. I don't know why I did that. I'm DJing now suddenly. Okay. All right. Hey, guys, have a good one. Talk to you later. Adios.
All right. Adios. And, of course, you're listening to the Community Living Show on the NCRE Radio Networks, of course. That was Michael.
That was actually from...
Fibromyalgia is a...
second. That was from Health Adjacent.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, it looks like she's from out of Chicago. I'm going to try to contact her via Facebook and see if we can get more out of her.
Sure.
I found one more clip. There looks like there is another video blog out there. And let's see. Let's actually see what this one has to say.
All right, for 10 minutes.
This one looks like it's almost 6 minutes. So
okay,
yeah,
let's give it a try.
Yep.
Hi there, guys. This is my first video making. About fibromyalgia. Yes, I'm sick, but I figured I better get this video out. Otherwise, I won't. Just hoping that maybe I can help someone. You know, I don't know a whole lot about it. Obviously, the doctors don't either. But, you know, just to let you know that you're not alone. That there's a lot of us out there suffering from this. And so I'll tell you a little bit about me. Yeah, my name's Evie, and I live in a little town. I have a 2-year-old daughter, Gracie. And I have a husband, Nathan. We've been together for 10 years, since I was 14. I started symptoms of fibromyalgia when I was working my 2 jobs. Waitressing, I would get a pain in my neck. And it's like you couldn't even breathe on it. You know, if you were to even blow on my neck, I'd be screaming. So it hurt really bad. And after that, weird things, like my legs, and it would ache and ache and hurt so bad, and I didn't want to be touched. Nathan noticed a big difference after I had Gracie. After I had Gracie, it started with really bad leg pain at night. And then, it would go away in the morning, though. And so, you know, I thought maybe it's just my weight, you know, a lot of running around on my feet with the baby and whatnot, because I would wake up and everything would be okay. Well, it just gradually got worse and worse. It was December 19th, 2010 is when I woke up and I had my pain, and it didn't go away. So ever since then, it's been every day. Seen a lot of doctors, a lot of specialists. I had one that looked at me and said that I looked fine. Like, well, duh. You know, that's what I don't understand with this. There's just stupid doctors out there, you know. They don't give you a chance to tell them everything that you feel. I had a doctor that didn't understand what I meant when every morning I wake up and I go to take a step out of bed, it feels like I'm stepping in a broken glass. You know, just picture that and it going through your whole body. You know, if it's difficult for him to understand, he should understand how difficult it is for us to explain. You know, my mother too has fibromyalgia and MS and rheumatoid arthritis. There's a few things they were questioning with me with MS that don't really go along with fibromyalgia, I guess. Like, I can't do hot anymore, like hot showers that I used to just love. I can't do cold. Like, a lot of people just use heating pads. I haven't used a heating pad in over 2 years. What else? Muscle spasms constantly, you know. Sometimes my husband or friends can see them. Sometimes you can't because they're really deep. A thing that I have is really weird. A good question for you guys is when I go for walks, after a while, my legs start feeling really funny. You know, like when you're on an elevator and your legs get that funny feeling. It's like that, but with Jell-O, but they feel so heavy, you know? So I probably look really, really ridiculous trying to walk in town, but, you know, what do you do? So yeah, I'd like to know about that. Another thing, let's see, what else do I have? The doctor thinks I might have IBS, irritable bowel syndrome. So I noticed that one or two tablespoons of apple cider vinegar has to have the mother in it. That really helps. You put it in a glass of water, or be like me, put it in a shot glass, drink it quick, and then chug down a glass of water. That helps break down the food in your stomach before while digesting. It does help a lot. What else? Oh, for the last 2 months, my left hand has been numb, not the whole hand, my pinky, my ring finger, and the side of my hand down to like the half part of my arm. What else can we talk about? Friends. Find out who your true friends are. You really do. You know, because you have some that don't believe you. Oh, do this, oh, do that. I know that'll help.
Oh, that was quick. So,
yeah, that last clip was pretty quick.
It just seemed to cut off.
Yeah, she didn't really sign off or anything like that.
No, all of a sudden.
Yeah, but you heard some like common themes about the like. You know, being able to feel your food digesting as is going through your system,
mm-hmm.
You know, it's like that, you know, it sounds kind of weird. It sounds like I've heard a lot of people since I've been working with the Fibromyalgia Wellspring, mm-hmm. Doing work with them, trying to help them promote the walk and everything. I hear both sides of it. She's just complaining a lot about things. It's like no one can actually ever feel that.
Right.
That's just ridiculous. But why would a person say that something is there that isn't? So, You know, it's kind of difficult to get at that way. And I have been in some conversations where they talk about the brain fog and everything. It's like, they just sort of all of a sudden get lost in the conversation. It's like,
right.
You know, something just didn't trigger or, you know. So,
okay.
But, you know, but the point is I guess people need to start realizing that if somebody says they're experiencing that, then there must be some truth to it, right?
Okay.
So yeah. So, but that's what awareness is all about, right? Getting people to realize it.
Okay.
So, anyway, so that was the two clips. For fibromyalgia. And there's other hidden illnesses out there that we can go through, chronic fatigue and things like that, you know, but that just had to be for another day, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, are we going to go to a break or you have another clip?
No. We'll take a break. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, okay.
We'll come right back. This is the Community Living Show.
Vancouver Neo Swamp Rock Outfit Wooden Horsemen released their EP Sentience at the Biltmore Cabaret on Thursday, January 14th at 8. Joining them are Afrobeat heavyweights Camaro 67 and Marimba legends Kudapira. Bring your dancing shoes to this jam-packed night of local talent. For more information, go to woodenhorseman.com.
Late Night Show is the start of the weekend. We play all types of D&D or jungle for the first half of the show. On the second half of the show, it gives you that irritating noise that you just don't want to hear it. Or it could be some ambient sounds that might drift off and or fall asleep in the moment of life. Or it could be some new age that you just heard on most stations, but even better. Or it could be that this music has no beat or drums in that music. Either way, tune into the Late Night Show, now broadcasting on Saturday mornings at 12:30 a.m. right after the Medicine Show, also hosted by new DJ Rain and Jason Lawrence. If you happen to hear us around the world, you can always check us out at CITR.ca.
Oh. And welcome to the show. And yeah. You have one more article or one more... I'm going to say an article.
Yeah, I was going to try to get an update from, I guess, in the last segment here from Cheryl. I guess we can try to get a hold of her on the phone.
Yeah, so do you want to do musical or something?
Yeah.
Or something?
Let's play another.
Okay, so this one is David Bowie, we were just talking about earlier. A song called Modern Love, so we'll be back in a moment.
We'll be right back.
All right, so that was Modern Love by David Bowie. Of course, David Bowie passed away earlier. So anyways, on the phone.
On the phone, we have Cheryl Young from the Fibromyalgia Wellspring.
How are you, Cheryl?
Excellent. How are you both doing today?
We're doing great.
Excellent. Thank you. First, I should apologize for last week, for those of you who were listening last week. As you know, our store was broken into, and we were in the process of trying to reopen it with the glass and everything. And Nigel, who is my husband and business manager for the foundation, was busy doing a lot of that cleanup to help get that store open. So a big thank you to Nigel for doing that last week. So I was a little bit chaotic, and that was fine. You know, I work good in chaos, so don't ever think I can't make it into order, because I'm an ordered person, so chaos becomes order in my life. It just has to. I'm really excited because from the break-in, of course, you get we had an article done by Langley Times, which came out yesterday. And it came out, must be in the morning, because yesterday afternoon it was so busy here. So donations are coming in. We really appreciate it. And thank you so much for that, because, you know, we work on donations and we can help others by that. So, hey, thank you very much out there. They want me to talk today about an invisible illness, of course. The program's all about it. So I want to share with you what I'm doing with my groups this month. I run 4 support groups, and we're going to actually expand to New West very shortly. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about depression. And that's a huge one, right, Michael?
Yeah, that's really big. Yeah. Matter of fact, we just before the end of the year, end of 2015, we had a depression specialist come on.
Oh, fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because, you know, it's that time of year.
Yeah.
You know, and people are either way up and then all of them are crashed down, or they're alone at Christmas, you know, and that's a depression as well. And I've often shared with you what I do when I feel a little down is I put on Christmas videos or music, and my house is still decorated. We were talking on Facebook that way last night about who's still got decorations up. Well, hey, I do. So I'm one of those people that are kind of wacko. But we all know that because I'm walking to bounce, right? So
yeah. Hey, wait a second. What does that make me? Because I'm going with you.
I know. That makes 2 of us, right? We have a great team. I love our team. Our team is solid. They're coming together so strongly. And now I'm hearing more about who's going to visit us at, as you know, we've got the Manning Park Lodge has donated 2 nights of their big room, and we're planning that to have popcorn and movie night there, and people are coming to that because that's kind of cool. They bring their sleeping bags and be able to do that, and I'll have dates for you next time I'm on the phone. But what I wanted to talk about really quickly, and then Michael, you can, you know, jump in and that, but we've just started that GoFundMe. It came out basically yesterday. So if you want to check the site, Fibromyalgia Wellspring Foundation, you're able to see the GoFundMe site. And it talks about going to the village, which is our plan, right? So also a post was done from one of our members about ignorance, about when we have a handicap sticker. And those of us who look well, like we do with invisible illnesses, people can be quite rude. So there's a good post there on my site that I've shared so people can read that. But about depression, I'm doing it for all my groups because myself, I'm sharing, is I did have a little bit of a depression, and that's not normal for me. But because my daughter is in Australia and I've just left her, and she's invited us to live there. By the way, I'm sharing that out there. I'm not going, but we got a home too. You know, when you live like we do on very little income, one of our concerns is, you know, where can we live? I mean, if we can't make it work, right? What happens, right? So I know you're all in the same boat, not all of you, but a majority of you. And that's where the village comes in. It's our plan in within the 2 years is to move into the village. And then we don't have to go and live in Australia. You know, so that's kind of
well, cool. I've been to Australia, so I know what it's like there.
So depression. Okay, I want to take that on because after a huge, what we're putting together with the walk, Nigel and I are, well, I personally been working on it for 18 months, and now we're on that that stretch, you know. So I'm hoping to get a clock up on our post to say how many days, how many minutes. And I've talked to Fiber Wellspring about doing something like that. So I can go on in the morning and say, hey, this is how close we are. You know, I'm really sharing the excitement. But what happens? There you go. What happens after all this planning and we finish the walk? What's going to happen? I'm going to tell you, a lot of our people are going to be depressed. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to have a wrap-up party. And that's something to look forward to. So that's in the planning stages already. Because when you have something you're looking so forward to, and you have that build-up, and it can be anything. It can be Christmas, Thanksgiving. It can be a birthday. It can be anything. Wham! You know, it's finished. What happens now? And that's when depression comes in.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Does that help?
Yeah, that does help. Because we're going to have a few celebrations after the fact.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
And then of course, we have to have our premiere party, too.
Yes, of course we do.
Because we're shooting a documentary. Kelly, you know how Cheryl's a bit shy and everything? You can hear how shy she
is.
Yeah, she's actually going to be taking the starring role in the documentary.
Oh, no. You know, pushing limits. People don't believe you, Michael. They think Cheryl just does this because she totally loves doing it. And I talked to a friend of mine, and she said, you hate doing stuff like this. I said, I absolutely hate it. And when people think, well, you know, maybe it's a 5-minute live shot or talking to you, I have to plan that. Not because I'm a planner, but because I got to make sure I don't let you guys down, you know?
Right.
Like, I want to make sure I do the best I can for the listeners, but also for you, because you have confidence in me. And because I'm reclusive, yes, very reclusive.
we know, share that one, by the way.
Yeah, I really am. And, the walk to Banff for me is, for me too. Like, you know, it's just not about the awareness, but I need to do this for me too. Yeah. And because I wanted to share with you, years ago when I used to, and in the book it says about me watching Dr. Phil and Oprah, I sat there in a chair, in a rocking chair, watching that TV, and I thought, is this all there is to life? And I thought, not going to happen. And I was not even 50 then, and it's not going to happen. And then I started a journal. And every day I wrote in the journal and said how bad I felt or how good I felt or how in pain mm-hmm. I was in. And that journal became the foundation because I made a decision to change the way I was directing my energies to think process over that. Sitting there, to me it's doing nothing watching TV. I love a good book, but I couldn't even read because my eyes were so screwed up. So, the thing is that you do a journal day to day and who the possibilities will open. And that's where in February we met the Arthritis Society and then from there the foundation went. And that was 2005. This is the 10th year for the foundation. So you can say, oh, my goodness. So this, you never know when you start that journal. Do something productive for yourself. You know, you never know you might need it for a disability claim. You never know. Just start putting those thoughts down. Just a little bit of advice this morning. Good.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of people that actually advise that journaling. They say that it helps you keep track of things. It helps others keep track of things for you.
Mm-hmm.
I've even heard people, advocating for medical help. If you journal it, you hand the doctor the journal, they can't ignore what you've written down.
Exactly.
So.
Absolutely. And that makes it real.
Mm-hmm.
And if we make it real, people are going to see it. They're going to listen. And, of course, that's what the walk's all about.
Yeah.
Is seeing it and listening. And don't tell me, because I have fibro, I don't have fibromyalgia because I'm walking. I have all the points. I'm extreme pain. But who's going to do anything for anyone if someone doesn't stand up there and say, we need to be heard? And people need to stop being ignorant and be more compassionate. And that's all it's all about is spreading the word because there's so many invisible illnesses. It's huge. I don't even know how many. I bet you do, Michael, because you're amazing with figures, and that was your field.
I don't even know how many there are.
How huge are we talking? It's huge.
Yeah, it's a huge number, and it's a huge number of people that have them. It's like there's you. There's also my friend Daniel. And you know Daniel is like with lupus. Let's get into that because the doctor said that he couldn't possibly ever have lupus because that's supposed to be a female thing and he's male.
Wow, what's that?
It's like this is what we're talking about, awareness for invisible illnesses, because they're trying to tell you that you can't have something because you're the wrong gender.
Exactly. Well, you know what? You know, none of us know it all.
Right.
But if we can make a little difference and let the world start looking at world. I said world. I didn't say just North America, because we have people all over our Facebooks from all over the world. My daughter's sharing in Australia. My family's in there. They're sharing everywhere. And the thing is, it's something that's worldwide. And you know what? This world needs help. And we all know that. And if it's a little bit of a difference of walking to BAMP to help make a difference, darn right. I'm in. Sign me up. I'm ready to go.
I heard this rumor that we're also going to be doing a much smaller walk in Australia in 2017, is it?
Oh, I'm not sure about 2017. I am going to Australia. That is my plan, to go back. But again, if the foundation needs me, the village could be up and running by then, so who knows? But I will be going to Australia in 2017 because my daughter is there. And I love my daughter so much, and I miss her so much. You know, I have two daughters. I love them both, but that one I don't get to see at all. And, you know, she moved yesterday, so we're very happy about that, but we wish we could have been there. So it's okay. We're good. She's listening. Well, you know, she listens to everything and she's sharing everything. So we're cool with that. So, but yeah, we know about depression, believe me.
Yes.
So, yeah. Okay. So anything else I can help you with this morning?
Well,
that's pretty much it for right now.
Yeah, it looks very like good. We're starting to run a little short on time now.
Thank you very much, Kelly. Thank you very much, Michael. Love talking to you. And everyone have a good day today.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, hon. Bye.
Right. Bye. There you go.
Yeah. So another face to put on with fibromyalgia.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
you were mentioning about one of the persons who died, not David Bowie, but...
Alan Rickman.
Alan Rickman. He was also on Galaxy Quest.
Oh, yes, he was.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Forgot about that.
Yeah,
and that's definitely a comedy, right?
Yeah, kind of like Star Trek comedy.
Yeah, it was kind of a parody on.
Yeah, on science fiction. That's
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, I totally forgot about that. It's like, what a talented person he was.
Exactly.
So,
all right. Well, that's our show. We're going to leave you with another David Bowie song called "Dirty Boys." We'll be back again tomorrow if you're listening to us on Co-op Radio. And, of course, next week on our CITR station. All right?
All right.
Michael.
All right. See you tomorrow.
Road, living on a lonely road. I will pull you out of there. We will go to Finchley Fair. Feather hat. I will steal a cricket bat.